From the macabre minds of Laughing Devil Production comes another story from the Nightshade Diary. You know what that means. Check under the bed and make sure no one or nothing is there. Is the closet door securely shut? Then leave your disbelief behind, amp up your imagination, and hang on tight for another ride into terror and mystery. And like all good horror stories, just imagine it's a dark and stormy night. And remember, screaming like a little girl is permitted. The following are true ghost stories from around the world. Algeria, the apparitional legionnaires. This long-forgotten apparition case has survived only because a veteran of the French Foreign Legions later wrote it down from memory and mailed it to the great French psychic investigator Professor Charles Richet. Richet then passed it along to the Société Physique, which published it around 1921. The case is significant because, assuming the Legionnaire's story to be the literal truth, it was one of the rare multiple witness type in which several persons observe an apparition simultaneously. The author of the account, Legionnaire René Dupré, wrote that the strange incidents happened during 15 days in May 1912 at a desert outpost approximately 200 miles south of the Legion's Algerian headquarters at Sidi Bel Abbès. At that time, France's Foreign Legion was carrying out the pacification of Morocco against fierce dissident tribesmen. A zone soumise, or pacified zone, had been established, but nothing really prevented the roaming Arab dissidents' caravans from doing a thriving business in gun running and other illegal activities. The zone could only be held if all the oases to the south were in French hands and blockhouse-style forts set up to control the caravan routes. For this work, legion columns were regularly sent south against the terrible desert winds, the blistering heat, and the cold rains. A typical relief column would march out on foot with supplies carried on mules or camels. When it took over to sign blockhouse and the relieved garrison had disappeared north through the sands, it was completely isolated for months. The legionnaires endured much hardship in this desert garrison life. They were literally cut off from the world. There were no radios, no airplane drops of supplies or mail. The food was foul and the water scarce. All but entombed in horrible monotony, the worst in both officers and men was often brought out. Fights were frequent. There was no diversion and no women. It was only surprising, wrote René Dupré, that the men stayed sane. The legionnaires had a word for this dreaded monotony, cafard. If an officer or non-com asked a depressed-looking legionnaire if he had cafard, and the man replied yes, the officer understood, for likely as not, he had it himself. Thus, the men in these lonely outposts welcomed the patrol outside or even an attack by enemy tribesmen to break the monotony. Dupré's infantry company, along with two others, arrived at one of these desert blockhouses late in March 1912. But they had run into trouble on the march south. Arab tribesmen had set an ambush for the Legion column about 2 miles from their destination. A sharp firefight had ensued, and before the tribesmen were finally driven off, five legionnaires, two from Dupré's company, lay dead. The major in charge of the column had ordered the bodies buried and the graves covered with stones so that animals would not disturb them. Some 2 weeks after their arrival at the blockhouse, Dupré was walking guard duty on the parapet. It was past midnight when he saw his commanding officer leave his headquarters and stroll out on the parapet, as was his habit before retiring. "Alors, Dupré," said the officer quietly, "we've only been here a couple of weeks, and I think you've got cafard already." Oui, mon capitaine, that's so. Well, with luck, we'll be relieved in 3 months. Meanwhile, keep a sharp eye out. We don't want these Arabs sneaking up on us. Dupre saluted, and the officer passed on. A half hour went by, and Dupre kept scanning the bleak, shadowy desert as he walked his post. A low crescent moon bathed the rolling sands with an eerie yellow glow. Suddenly he saw something move against the dune, some 400 or 500 yards to the north. Dupre halted and strained his eyes. Then he saw that it was a man walking toward the blockhouse. Dupre automatically raised his rifle to the ready position. The man seemed to stagger as he came closer. When the figure had approached another 50 yards, Dupre saw that it was a legionnaire in uniform. As the man walked, he zigzagged back and forth as if he were searching for someone or something. It was at this point that Dupre noticed something very queer about the figure. He could see right through it. Camel's tracks and desert stones were plainly visible through the man's uniform. This was enough for Dupre, and he shouted for the corporal of the guard, who came running at the double. Dupre pointed out to him the staggering, diaphanous figure. The amazed corporal stared for a few seconds and then called for the officer of the guard. "Sir," said the corporal, "there seems to be a legionnaire out there, but I can see right through him." The three men, speechless with fascination, watched as the meandering figure, with its somewhat pathetic, sidling motions, came still closer. "My God," whispered the officer finally, "I can see his face now. It's Leduc." "That's impossible, sir," breathed the corporal in a hushed voice. "Leduc's dead. We buried him the day of the ambush." "Then it's his ghost," whispered the officer, shaking his head in disbelief. "Look, sir," hissed Dupre, "it's disappearing now." As the legionnaires gaped, the filmy figure seemed to melt away into the murky, yellowish sand. Nothing more of the apparitional legionnaire Leduc was seen that night. According to René Dupre's account, news of the ghostly visit of their dead comrade spread rapidly through the garrison. The major ordered the nightly guard doubled. He needn't have bothered, for many of the men joined the nightly vigil. The excitement served as a diversion for the legionnaires and helped to assuage their cafard. 4 nights later, the phantom of Leduc reappeared about an hour and a half after midnight. Many legionnaires witnessed it. Once again, the forlorn, searching figure was seen to tramp unsteadily toward the blockhouse, then angle off and fade from view against the desert sands. This same performance was repeated on the next night. Some of the legionnaires claimed they could see smears of blood on Leduc's ghostly face. He had received a tribesman bullet through the temple and had died instantly. Then the phantasmal scenario changed. Leduc was seen no more for the next few days. The next spectral event happened 3 nights later, when once again René Dupre was walking guard duty on the parapet. He was not alone there. A few other legionnaires, most smoking pipes, were also peering out on the desert wastes. A few minutes after 1 o'clock, a couple of men pointed off to the north and whispered excitedly. "Out there," one cried, "he's coming!" Dupre saw it too. Far out against the leaden sand, the figure of a legionnaire could be seen weaving along uncertainly, his visored white kepi pulled low over his face. The men in the blockhouse watched spellbound as it progressed forward in searching zigzags. When it came within 150 yards of the fort, it weaved off to its left, and the watchers could see its transparent profile. Dupre did not have to call the corporal and officers of the guard, for they were standing right next to him, staring transfixed at the plotting phantom. "Look at his face," somebody shouted. "That's not Leduc, it's Sergeant Schmidt." "You mean it's his ghost," said the officers of the guard. "Schmidt got it with Leduc and the others. They're buried out there, remember?" The men of the garrison stared at the figure of Schmidt, dissolved against the sandy waste. It was next seen 2 nights later in a repeat performance, marching along uncertainly as if looking for something it had lost. It was then that a small, thoughtful legionnaire named Renaud made an interesting remark. Everyone listened. "I think I understand," Renaud said slowly but clearly. "I think they're looking for each other. We all know what great friends they were." René Dupré's account then details the friendship between the two men. It was a rather unusual one in the Legion. Normally Frenchmen stuck with Frenchmen, Germans with Germans, Poles with Poles, and so on. But the French private and the German sergeant had taken to each other from the first. They went on leave in Oran together, got drunk together, ate together, fought together, marched together, and on Cameron Day, that day cheer when the story of the Legion's sacrifice in Mexico is read to all Legionnaires, wherever they are, Smith and Leduc sat and listened together. The climax of the case occurred on the 15th day after the apparition of Leduc was first seen. Dupré was not on guard that night, but he was watching out of curiosity. So were perhaps 30 other Legionnaires puffing on pipes and gazing out across the dunes to the north. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, their patience was rewarded. Men began to whisper and point. Far out on the wastes, two figures could be seen striding along together, as if on the march. They did not approach the blockhouse, but strode along parallel to it. Their white kepis were distinctly those of Legionnaires. The figures were too filmy and far away for anyone in the garrison to see their faces, yet everyone assumed they were Leduc and Schmidt. Dupré wrote that they were seen for perhaps a minute, no more, as they faded out over a dune. The watcher saw that one figure raised its arm as if in a gesture of farewell. The phantom figures were never seen again. In his account, René Dupré made no attempt to explain the curious appearances. He merely wrote down what happened. The case was never formally investigated, nor were any of the observers, including Dupré, ever tracked down and questioned. But the case is similar to others, in which ghosts of persons who have met violent deaths have remained for a time to haunt the places where they met their ends. The ghosts of some brutally murdered people have been known to linger for 100 years or more, bound to such places by resentment for the deed done to them. According to those who believe in an afterlife, this seriously impedes their progress to the next world. But in the case of the slain Legionnaires, their ghosts did not linger long. Perhaps they were drawn to the blockhouse as the destination they never reached. Or maybe they were drawn to the surviving comrades out of the deep devotion to the Legion that all Legionnaires feel. Or perhaps, as Renaud suggested, the two spirit wanderers wished to find each other. Having done so, they decided to march off together, as they had in life, to the next world.